Good morning, people of God. Welcome this morning as we come to get... By the way, I don't know if you know this, but this is the last day of the year. Did you know that? How many knew that? Anybody know that? Today is Christ the King Sunday, which is the last Sunday of the church calendar year. I know, we're kind of messed up. But today is Christ the King Sunday. We celebrate the truth of Christ for us today. And we'll hear that in the gospel text, and hopefully you'll hear that in the sermon too. You'll have to tell me afterwards if you hear that in the sermon, okay? Anyway, how are you? All right, good. Well, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship this morning with our confession and forgiveness. I invite you to stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and for whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. I invite us to take a moment for our own self-examination and reflection at this time. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. We sing our opening hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Kyrie eleison, have mercy to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, mighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God. Amen. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people on earth. And peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you anointed your beloved Son to be priest and sovereign forever. Grant that all people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united by the glorious and gentle rule of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from Daniel chapter 7. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an ancient one took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair on his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, all peoples, nations, and languages would serve him. His dominion was an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away. His kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. The word of the Lord. The psalm is Psalm 93. Please read the bold print. The Lord is king, robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The Lord has made the world so sure that it cannot be moved. Your throne has been established. You are from everlasting. The waters have lifted up, O Lord, the waters have lifted up their voice. The waters have lifted up their pounding waves. And the sound of many waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, mightier is the Lord who dwells on high. Your testimonies are very sure, and your holiness benefits your house, O Lord, forever and forevermore. The second reading is from Revelation chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty, the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 18th chapter. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So, you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May be seated. Invite the kids to come up. Hey, Henry.
So, I forgot my microphone in my office, so I'm just going to talk loud. But, hey guys. Hey. So, thank you. So, all of our messages today, the first lesson, the second lesson, the gospel and the psalm all had one thing in common. Did you catch what it was? Were you too busy playing trucks? Might have been.
No.
Henry, bring your boat back. Bring your boat back. Come this way, here. Come on back here. Well, I was going to ask you, what is your birthday?
July 28th.
She's right. Henry, what is your birthday? August 31st. He's right. Josie, what is your birthday? November 18th. She's right. So we all have a beginning to our story, right? That's the day that we began. And I bet if we looked out there, everybody would raise their hand and say they have a day that began their story, right? Everybody does. And everybody eventually will have a day that becomes the end of their story, right? That's a truth too. Now, when we're talking about God, is there a beginning to his story? Sophie says yes. What day did it begin? Uh-oh. You don't have a day? You can't think of a time? At precisely 1:05 p.m. on What day? You don't know? Okay. Do you know the ending day of the story? No ending day. How about when we talk about spring? Is there a beginning of spring? Is there a yes. Say yes. Because like right now, is it spring? No way. It's like really winter. Is it winter right now, and will it stay winter forever? No, it won't. So here's the deal. Can you hold this for me? So I brought this string. I was holding it in my hand too long, and I think I made a knot. Give me a second. Because there's going to be a knot, but this is too soon. This is too soon in this string story to have a knot. Hang on. Here we go. Henry, help me out. Henry, hold here. Can you hold here? Hold this one. This one. Hold that. Okay, Henry's got which part? The beginning or the end?
End.
He's got the end. Do I have the beginning? Okay, Sophie says that Henry has the end and I have the beginning of this string. Is this kind of like when we talk about our stories, there's a beginning and there's an end? Yeah, that's how it looks. It's kind of in a straight line. And that's how we think of our lives sometimes. That's how we think of stories. Do we always start a story at the beginning page and then end at the ending page? Do we always follow the story in one direction? Or do we go back and forth? When we're reading a story in a book, do we go back and forth? No. We pretty much stay in one direction. Now what happens when I did that? Uh-oh. Henry, what is this? Well, a kind of a rectangle. I'm going to try to make it more of a circle. How about that? It's kind of a circle. Does it have a beginning now? Does it have an ending? Not really. I mean, we can see where I put the knot. But for the most part, it just keeps going. We can't make it ever stop. But it means it never really started. It is forever and ever and ever just going and going and going. Guess what? That is what God and Jesus are. They just keep going forever and ever and ever. We can't even fathom the idea of a beginning and an end to God. He always was before, and he will ever forever be after. Right? It just keeps going and going like a circle. Should I just keep saying that? It just keeps going forever and ever. It just keeps going forever and ever. That would get a little old. Should we go head back? Okay, thank you for bringing your boat.
Please pray with me. Loving God, we are grateful this day. We are grateful for your grace that surrounds us, your spirit that breathes life into us. We are grateful this day for your truth and that you are truth. We give you thanks for your word. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord our God, our Redeemer. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I just want you to know I made a mistake today. I know it's hard to believe. I made a mistake. Or maybe it wasn't me. Maybe it was the people who put together the lectionary, which are the texts for the day. Because we left off a very important verse. I think. That's just my opinion. And of course, you know, my opinion carries a lot of weight in the scope of things. You understand that, don't you? You know. you know, like, you know, the Packers and the Vikings play today, and so. What's that? That's my mistake. The verse that follows in the gospel text today is Pilate asking the question, what is truth? What is truth? And it seems to me that is a question that we are asking a lot today. Pilate's question, what is truth, was a hotly debated question centuries before he took his first breath, with so many religious speakers of truth. We have come to question the reality of absolute truth. Now, how many have heard the term relative truth? How many have heard that term? When you hear that word, what does that mean to you? Go ahead and talk to me.
Maybe not quite.
Somewhat. Somewhat true.
Based on conditions.
Based on conditions.
Right.
Okay. What's that, Bill?
Based on not all the facts.
Based on not all the facts. Okay. So it's relative. Relative. It's particularly popular today. What is true for you is not necessarily true for me. How many have heard that? What's true for you is not necessarily true for me. How many have heard that? Okay. You've heard that. And what is true for me may not be necessarily true for you. So we have half-truths, which people who hold differing opinions call bold-faced lies. At the same time, we have inconvenient truths. We label those things in different ways today. Discovering the truth is important for us as individuals. We have a desire to live authentic lives, not to live a lie, but to live truthfully. Now, as followers of Jesus, it's important for us to determine what is true, because Jesus, in his conversation with Pilate, stated that he had come to bear witness to the truth. In this brief conversation with Pilate, we begin to discern the truth and understand how it intersects with our lives today. Now, in the story today, Jesus had been handed over to the high priest and other Jewish leaders to Pilate. On our trip, it was really interesting, the trip I was on to Israel, one of the places that we visited was the high priest's place where Jesus would have been questioned by Caiaphas. And in the middle of the floor of this place was a big hole. One of the pictures in the room had Jesus standing there as if he were on trial, but he had ropes around his shoulders. So what were those ropes for? Any ideas? Those ropes were there to put him down into the hole, into the jail, into the you want to call it a dungeon, you can call it whatever you want to, but it was a hole that to put the captured or the one who was accused down into. So think of that. Jesus was in front of the high priests and the Jewish leaders, and it was really stark. And we read the story of where Jesus was accused and held there. Now, the high priest's intention was to have Pilate execute Jesus, because Jesus has attacked the system, the temple system. And he was growing in popularity. They found Jesus guilty of blasphemy, claiming to be God. This charge means nothing to the Romans, though. In order to execute Jesus, Pilate must find Jesus guilty of a capital punishment, such as treason or insurrection. In other words, if he claimed to be a king, that would be sufficient enough. In verse 33, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered that his kingdom is not of this world. In other words, Jesus is calming any concerns that Pilate might have that he is interested in leading a rebellion against Rome. After stating that purpose is not to be king of the Jews, Jesus states his true purpose. He says, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the purpose of his incarnation is to communicate the truth. In that verse which was left off, Pilate says, "All right, what's truth? Tell me." But you know what? That is really the wrong question. What is truth? The correct question should have been, who is truth? To this question, Jesus would have responded, "I am." Who is truth? The truth is that God's kingdom is a relational kingdom. Being a God of love, God wants to have a loving relationship with God's creation. In the beginning of John's Gospel, we hear words such as this, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us," or "lived among us," or as it can be translated, "tented among us." Full of grace and truth. Now, in his reply to Pilate, Jesus talks relationally, telling how those who are of the truth hear Jesus' voice. The truth is found in a relationship with a person who is himself the truth. The truth is not laws or religious doctrines. The truth is God. The truth is God. The truth is that God is a God of love, and that God loves you and me. Jesus gives his disciples one simple command. He instructs them, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another." You know, that kind of invites a response. Last Sunday, if I would have said that, what would you say to me? Oh. Let's try that again. "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you, so you should love one another." Ah. I am truth. At one time or another, the church has proclaimed that sinners women, blacks, gays are unlovable. Do you know that? All of us have felt unlovable or have been told that we are unlovable. The truth is that God loves us with a steadfast love, forgives us unconditionally, and acts with overwhelming grace in our lives. The truth is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Loss and death are part of life. During those times of pain, suffering, and grief, we have believed the lie that life has ended and can never be brought back. Jesus comes and proclaims to us the truth that He is the resurrection and the life. Death is not the end. Death has already been swallowed up in the truth of the resurrection. So is it too good to be true? Have you ever heard the phrase, if it's too good to be true? It probably is. How many have heard that? How many heard that on Friday with the black, if the deal's too good to be true, it probably is too good to be true. You know, it's difficult for us to live in the truth. We convince ourselves that Jesus is too good to be true. We think that God can't forgive someone who has done what we have done. God's love must be earned. We have to be good people. Life hurts too much that we can't believe loss and death are able to be overcome. Believing that the truth is too good to be true, that means we live in the lie. Jesus has said that we will know truth, and the truth will set us free. Few of us would say that we are truly free. We have those things which bind us, those fears, those hatreds, those places of selfishness, those things when we look at our neighbor and we're envious. The lies we hear drowned out the truth that Jesus speaks to us. It's hard to hear Jesus' voice. There's the story of circuses. Now, elephants are no longer used in circuses now, are they? Is that true? Mostly? Huh? Not as much. There's things happening as far as the how animals are treated. But this is what I've been told, or this is what I read, that baby elephants in circuses would have a chain around their leg fastened to a peg in the ground. The peg and chain would keep them confined. Later, when they had reached their full stature, in other words, they had grown up, they could easily pull the peg out of the ground. But years of growing up with this chain and peg left them convinced that they were still confined. They would never try to break their chain, even when they could. Jesus comes and removes our chains. He speaks to our hearts. We hear His voice. We are people of truth and not people of lies. The truth is not too good to be true. The truth is truth. We are free. Free to live in God's love, grace and forgiveness, and in the power of the resurrection. We are free to love, free to serve, free to live in God's kingdom. Because Jesus really is not only the truth, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Thank you. invite you to stand as you're able as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose, ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. For the people of God gathered here and throughout the world, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Almighty God, you love us and free us from the death and through the death and resurrection of your Son. Lead your church through the gospel. Bless pastors and deacons, musicians, teachers, and all who speak your truth. Lord, in your mercy. You reveal your goodness through the majesty of what you have created. Bring favorable weather to places affected by storms. Protect plants and animals from devastation and guide us in our use of all natural resources. Be with those who now recover from fires. Lord, in your mercy. You desire justice in the world. Grant to courts, wise and discerning judges, attorneys, defenders, and guide the rulers of nations to bring about peace. Lord, in your mercy. You are beginning and end. Soothe the afflicted, comfort the distressed, console the bereaved, and heal the sick. Especially, we lift up before you today Tom, Lisa, Sue, Gary, Dale, Don, Ann, Kathy, Marv, Gordy and Carolyn, Lexan, Christy, Mikkel, Mildred, Sean, Otto, Libby, Owen, Sam, and all those that we name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy. You call us to serve our neighbors. Nourish us with word and sacrament so that we serve as your hands and feet in the world. Protect those who are traveling. Bless those who are unable to attend worship today. Lord, in your mercy. Your dominion is forever and ever. We give thanks for the faithful departed who live with the saints of all ages in your love. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayers, spoken and silent, that we commend to you this day, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. I invite you to share that with one another. receive our offering at this time. Up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.